Okay, we're in Matthew 28. We're going to be looking at verses 18 to 20 today. We once had a car that needed a new engine. And we sold it to a guy who was going to put a new engine in it. We sold it really cheap because we knew it needed a new engine. He did too. He just said, you know, I'll put an engine in it. So we sold it to him. Now, when that happened, and he put a new engine in that old car became a new car. And we've told you about Mariam, right? Heart transplant. Her old heart has become a new heart. Many years ago, we remodeled our kitchen. We tore out all the old cupboards. We tore out all the countertops and we replaced it. We put in new cupboards and new countertops and new dishwasher and new sink and so on. And what happened when we did that is our old kitchen became a new kitchen. Old to new. Old to new. Old to new. That is the story of the man or the woman who meets Jesus. This is what happens when you become a disciple of Jesus. You are literally a new person. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, Jesus says that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And we've talked about that already. Now, if he does have all authority in heaven and on earth, then that means you'd better be on the right side of Jesus. Because we talked about that as well. You know, you want to be on the right side of authority, or you can get in trouble. And so, since he has all authority, he then says, go therefore, because he has all authority, therefore, go make disciples of all nations. In other words, go make followers of Jesus. Go make new people. That's what a follower of Jesus is, a new person. And part of making disciples, part of making followers, part of making new people is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So in verses 19 and 20, what we get is we get a command, go make disciples. And then we get, in English, actually in the Greek as well, these participles, baptizing them and teaching them. And they are part of that command. They're part of what it looks like to make disciples of all nations. He's describing, make disciples and baptize them and teach them. And so they show what it looks like to be a disciple and to be someone who's making a disciple. Those two phrases, baptizing them and teaching them. And those things are central to making disciples. They're part of what you must do to make disciples. So in the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about baptizing and teaching. Today, we're going to talk about baptizing. So we're going to talk about baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says that his followers must get baptized. We do not baptize Muslims. We do not baptize secular Americans or Hindus or Buddhists. We baptize disciples. That's who you baptize. They are the only people who get baptized. Our disciples. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you get baptized. If you are not a follower of Jesus, you do not get baptized. It's really that simple. That's how it works. But why? Why do Jesus' followers get baptized? It seems kind of like a strange thing, doesn't it? You know, you put them in water and they go under and they come up, and it just seems kind of odd on one level. It's just kind of a ritual, right? So let's talk about that. First reason why is that baptism is a sign of repentance. It's a sign of repentance. When John baptized, John said that it was a baptism of repentance. When Peter preaches at Pentecost, you know, and 3,000 are converted, they say, "What must we do to be saved?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And so it's repentance and baptism go together. Repentance is central to the faith. There is no such thing as a Christian who has not repented. If you do not repent, you are not a Christian. That's just the way it is. It's that simple. That's part of being a Christian, is repentance from sin, from your old way of life. You repent from the old you, and you're a new you, which we're going to talk more about in a minute. Repentance turns you around, is what repentance does. In repentance, you used to live for your own comfort, but you've repented, and now you live for the glory of Christ. In repentance, you used to deny the glory of Christ, but you have repented, and now you acknowledge the glory of Christ. In repentance, you used to serve your career or your bank account. This is what your life was about. But you've repented, and now you serve your Lord Jesus Christ. In repentance, your family or your flesh, your culture, your something was first in your life. But you've repented. And now Jesus is first in your life. In repentance, you have changed. Repentance is a change. In repentance, you once did not follow Jesus, but now you do. In repentance, you once were not a disciple of Jesus, but now you are. Repentance is what must happen to all of Jesus' disciples, every one of them. You cannot be a disciple without repentance. And baptism is a sign of repentance. That's the first reason why Jesus' followers get baptized. It's a sign of what has happened with them. They've repented. Second reason that they get baptized is that Jesus himself was baptized. And if you follow him, well, if you follow someone who got baptized and you're following it, you get baptized too. Now, Jesus did not get baptized because he needed it. I just told you it's a sign of repentance. Jesus had no need for repentance. And John recognized this when, you know, Jesus came to him for baptism. John said to Jesus, "I should get baptized by you." And Jesus said, "Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." That's what Jesus said to John. And so in getting baptized, what Jesus is doing, when Jesus got baptized, what he was doing is modeling what we are to do. We're to follow him, and we need it. He doesn't, but we do. But so since we do, he's modeling it for us and doing it because it's what we're supposed to do. It's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. So at that time, Jesus says, for now, you know, it is fitting for now. Let it be so for now, Jesus says. For now, Jesus is humbling himself and taking on the form of a servant, as Philippians 2 puts it. Jesus is becoming one of us. That's part of what the incarnation is about. God has become a man. God took on flesh. He became one of us. And as one of us, he was baptized. He wasn't baptized because he needed to be baptized. He was baptized because he was one of us. That's part of what Jesus has done. And so he's then saying, follow me. I was baptized, you follow me. If you're going to follow Jesus, you'll get baptized. If you are going to make disciples, you will have those disciples get baptized. This is simply following Jesus. It's just part of what it is. Third reason why Jesus' followers get baptized. In baptism, you identify with Christ. That's what baptism is. It's an identification with Jesus. In baptism, you publicly say, I belong to Jesus. I'm his. In baptism, what goes on in baptism is you portray old and new. That's what baptism does. Baptism is a picture of old to new. Baptism portrays the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So Paul puts it this way in Romans 6. He says, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so too we might also live a new life. That's what Paul says in Romans 6. He's tying baptism to death and resurrection. He's saying that's what baptism is. When you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, so shall you be raised to live a new life. That's he's saying you, when you were baptized, there's the old and there's the new that comes out. In baptism, the old you dies and is buried under the water. And the new you is raised up out of the water, clean, forgiven, new. What happens in baptism is precisely what happens when you follow Jesus. That's what conversion is. That's what following Jesus means. The old dies, the new is raised. That's what being a disciple is. In baptism, you are identifying with Jesus, and with this experience of the old becoming new. That's what's going on in baptism. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in the former way of life in which you once walked. Ephesians 2. But God has made you alive in Christ and raised you up. That's the next verses in Ephesians 2. Death and resurrection, old and new. In Christ, you went from death to life. That is what baptism is. It's the picture of going from death to life. And so baptism is an identification with Christ. Baptism is obedience. It's an obedience to Christ. Baptism is a sign of repentance. Baptism is a sign of a new life. Baptism is, it represents death and resurrection, which happened with Jesus, but if you are in Jesus, it also happened with you. You too died and have been raised new. This is why we get baptized. And Jesus commands it. And so it's not optional. Now, when we do get baptized, Jesus says in verse 19, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk briefly about that. That is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's God. The Son and the Holy Spirit, Jesus is making them equal to the Father here. You're not baptized in the name of just the Father. You're baptized in the name of all three, as if they're co-equal. They have the same authority, as if Jesus just said he has all authority. And so we baptize in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit just as much as in the name of the Father. In baptism, the disciple is immersed. That's what baptism is. It's an immersion in water. You're immersed in the Father. And you are immersed in the Son. And you are immersed in the Spirit. When you become a follower of Jesus, you belong to the Father. And you belong to the Son. And you belong to the Holy Spirit. When you are a follower of Jesus, you serve the Father. And you serve the Son. And you serve the Holy Spirit. When you become a follower of Jesus, you become baptized in the Father, in the Son, and the Spirit. All three of them are in you through the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. In Christ, God is inside you. This is sort of a radical teaching of Christianity, that God comes and lives inside his people. It's not something you find in Islam at all. It's not something you find in any other religion. It's the eternal creator of the universe is going to dwell and make his home inside his people. You become baptized in the Spirit. There's this concept in the New Testament of baptism in the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Or you could say from Colossians 1, Christ is in you. This is the great mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. You are in him, he is in you. In Christ, God abides in you. From 1 John 4:16. God abides in you. In Christ, which is what baptism refers to. Baptism is saying you're in Christ now. And so in Christ, you become immersed into a new reality. You become immersed into a new kingdom. There's an old kingdom, and you used to serve that old kingdom. You used to live in it. It was your way of life. But in Christ, there's a new kingdom, and you belong to it. You are God's. He is yours. You now relate to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit intimately because you have passed from the old to the new. That's what has gone on. Now God calls you, if you're his disciple, he calls you to go make disciples. And if you're going to make disciples, understand that baptism is not negotiable. There are things that are negotiable. Baptism is not one of them. I spoke to, this was back in the fall, I was talking to a missionary to Afghanistan. He talked about making disciples in Afghanistan. And by the way, the church in Afghanistan is growing. It's actually behind Iran. Iran is the fastest growing church in the world. Afghanistan is second in terms of people coming to faith. And he was, but Afghanistan was ranked by Open Doors this year as the most dangerous country in the world to be a Christian. Afghanistan. Most dangerous country in the world to be a Christian. Just ahead of North Korea. And so it used to be North Korea, and it was North Korea 1, Afghanistan 2. Afghanistan just passed it this year. I don't know why. I don't know how they do those rankings, but that's what it said. But anyway, I was talking to this missionary to Afghanistan. He said when they got somebody who was ready to commit to Jesus, they set up a baptism. It's one of the first things they did. And obviously, they had to be careful. But they would go to a lake, and they'd have somebody stand watch, you know, make sure it's okay, the coast is clear. They would instruct the people, you know, as to what's going on here with baptism. They'd take them into the water. They'd baptize them. They would do communion together. And then they would go and have a meal together. That's what they did. He was just telling me their thing. But my point is this. Here's a man who is making disciples in a very dangerous place. And baptism is not negotiable for him. It's, you know, there. They're going to get baptized. It's just, we have to do it. We have to figure out a way to do it, but we're going to do it. And so, if you make disciples, you baptize. You may take special steps, like that missionary in Afghanistan. They took special steps to do it. They did it a certain way, and, you know, you can do that. You can vary where and when and so on, but you'll baptize. If you're God's calling you to make disciples. If you are a follower of Jesus but you've not been baptized, what are you waiting for? Follow Jesus. You can trust him. You can trust him. Let's pray. I praise you, God, that you have made us new. Hallelujah. Thank you that you have given us forgiveness, that you've cleansed us from our sins, that we have open access to you. We did not have any of that stuff before, and now we do. And I'm so grateful. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the beautiful picture that baptism is in our lives, what it means. We're grateful to you. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your coming, for your death, for your resurrection, and for sending us your Spirit who puts us in you. We give you blessing and honor, and we pray in your precious name. Amen.